It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm expecting big things, Kyle.
An adequate.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series. I do hope you hit the subscribe button while you're hanging around. I put out three new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. All the usual spots like iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with Nickelback, Chad Kroeger, and Ryan Peake. The band's 10th album is what we're getting into. It's called Get Rollin'. We're going to discuss finding their direction and knowing their sound, living through cycles of heavy music. And we're also going to have some fun debating if rock can still be dangerous. Beyond that, more fun with nostalgia and 80s pop, 80s pop culture rather. And we'll all try to decide that if we could go back in time, what would we do once we get there and what rules would we have to follow to do so? It's all that and more. We're talking Get Rollin'. It's Kyle Meredith with Nickelback.
Hello.
So first off, brand new record, Get Rollin'. This is album number 10 from you all? Did I read that right? Is this the big 10th
album? That's what they're telling us. They're telling us this is album 10.
Yeah. Yep. It's nice that when you don't keep up with the numbers yourself. But that's not nothing. I mean, we hear a lot, you know, there's sort of cliche lines like bands or like marriages or whatever. But I mean, 10 albums and what, 25, 26 years. I mean, that's a long marriage. I don't mean this as a joke question, but how do you all keep the flames burning? How is the creativity still there? Like, what are you doing when you go into a new record at this point?
It's just kind of whatever strikes you. You know, sometimes the songs, I was going to say almost write themselves, but they write themselves after you know the direction they're going. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But for instance, I screamed this line. I just barked out, loving you is like surfing on a tidal wave. And it was like, whoa. And then, but if you just sit back and listen to that for a second and think about it, you pretty much know where you're going to go with the song. You do. I do. Anyway. It means that right now in that relationship, things are really exciting. They feel like almost a little bit dangerous. You're teetering on the brink of success and failure within the relationship. But you know, no matter what, that it's sooner or later, it's going to come crashing down. So you're just loving the moment that you're in. So that's what that means to me. So then we just had to write that. So. It was almost like as soon as that line got spit out, we just knew where we were going with it. And I think generally it's like that. Like you wouldn't say a line like that and then suddenly write something really political, you know? So
unless you're in love with a political party, then maybe.
Unless you're just truly.
Politics do feel like a political. I mean, politics feel like a tidal wave sometimes. So I can get behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that feels like a concept album and we're not quite ready for that. So, you know, let's we can keep it alive other ways. So no, yeah. It's like, you know, we always want to get together. We always want to do, you know, we find common ground on certain things. I mean, like there's other things that we, you know, we'll come up with ideas and maybe it doesn't work for the band. Maybe it's better somewhere else. But if it does, and if you can always still find common ground on things, then I don't know, it's got to be fun to keep doing it. And it is. So it can be that easy. You still want to be here, right?
And sometimes it's not even about like creating something new in this time frame, in this time period, I should say. Because sometimes we go back over what I refer to as the vault, and we'll pick out ideas that like were started 12, 14 years ago, and you know, just sort of blow the dust off it and be like, hey, remember this little jam? Let's work on this. And away we go. And so that happens sometimes too. That happened once with this record, with a song called Does Heaven Even Know You're Missing? That I've been sitting on that for, I think, since 2007, actually. So, and that was fun to resurrect that idea and to see it actually come to fruition.
It's one of those kind of businesses where you can have things like from like 15 years ago and like bring this up. Oh, hey, maybe this still works. It's like, you can't do that in like the tech sector. I've got this idea, this handheld communication device. You think we should work on it, Brain? No, that's timed out. Music, you can keep little pockets of things here and there, and you're still going to bring them up.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say, you know,
in case you didn't know.
Yeah, it's something, but like in a similar vein, like I don't know, with a song like that, you know, if in that time in 2007 you might have been writing that about a specific person, especially with a line like that, but even if so, like I would think, like, you know, it's been over, you know, a decade and so, 15 years or whatever, like you'd have to separate yourself at least a little bit. Like that might have been about someone, but now it's not about anybody.
It wasn't about anybody in particular in 2007. It was just about loving someone so much and falling for someone so hard that you make that comparison that they must have just recently fallen for. Like it's almost like a cheesy pickup line that I try to turn into a lovely little melodic number. So it wasn't really about anyone, yeah, like I said, in particular. Not specifically, but it was more about that feeling of, you know, that when you just enter a relationship and maybe a month in, and as we all refer to as the honeymoon phase, and you start imagining yourself with this person for a really long time, it's like, wow, this feels so good. You know, that's really what the song's kind of about.
I like that the pickup line is still sort of imprinted there, though, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like there's so many of those stupid lines where it's like, hey, where's that little tag on your shirt? And they're like, which one? The one that says Made in Heaven, you know, like really cheesy, dumb stuff like that. But when I spit out the line, when I was coming up with the melody, I was like, oh, I know where we're going. And again, it was that same sort of thing of like, now we know the direction. Now I just need to paint this picture.
You all then, you know, thinking like in comparing, especially when you first become a band, a lot of it is about calling out your influences, you know, you're still trying to find your sound. But what I'm getting to, you know, as we talk about being 10 albums in and 25 years and all that stuff, like you know yourselves at this point, hopefully very well. But do you still find yourself reaching for those moments? I mean, are there still like musical icons? You're like, okay, we should try something like that. Like, are those there on this album?
I don't think, you know, 10 albums in, we're looking around going, oh, we should make this sound like someone else. No matter what, it could be the most, as I look behind you, it could be the most REM song ever. And the second I start singing on it, it's going to be a Nickelback song, no matter what. So we don't really look around to be like, oh, we should make this sound, but we should like chase down this sort of sound like that they did. Cause we're just always trying to sound like ourselves. Well, not that we have a choice, but for me, at least, it's like, let's do something interesting that makes me, you know, I know that if everybody leaves the studio and I stay for another hour and just keep the thing on 10, like ear splitting level, and it's still giving me the feels, this is an excellent direction to go in.
And don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Chad Kruger and Ryan Peek of Nickelback. You've got moods and sounds. You all have moods and sounds all through the record. But hearing you all talk about leading up to this, like, oh, you know, want to do something heavy. Like, it's heavy. San Quentin. I mean, Chad, that's, I feel like that's one of your heaviest vocals. Talk about like ear splitting. I mean, that feels heavy.
Yeah, I would say This Means War or The Betrayal would be, I mean, The Betrayal and This Means War is just, it's just, that's full out metal. You know, it's, this one just feels like a hard rock song. But since it starts off in such an aggressive nature, and I think that was what we teased the internet with. Everyone's like, oh my God, Nickelback's gone so heavy. And it's like, no, we haven't. We're just doing the same, you know, it's, we've done far heavier in the past, but, you know, I'll let anybody spin the narrative however they want. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, and I like that. I like the fact that I do like the fact that some people were like, you know, this is like the heaviest. This is the heaviest thing I've heard from them. And I'm like, really? Okay, that's an opportunity. Check out this Nickelback heavy playlist. So we put out playlist, but Nickelback a heavy side and Nickelback lighter side, and then I think we've got Nickelback other side, which is kind of like B-sides and possible forgotten ones of, you know, that we've had over the years too. But it's a bit odd when, like Chad said, when they kind of spin that narrative, because it's, I like it. We like it. We're a rock band. This is how we are live too. But it's, I find that it's like an opportunity for people to go back. Well, they've got other heavier songs. Oh, really? Oh, go check them out. Like, seriously, go check them out. There's lots back there. But because, you know, we're a rock band, first and foremost. So I'm flattered by it.
Yeah, I think some of it is even just, you know, comparing not in your catalog, but almost to the time and space that we're in. It's not, it used to be every day we would hear heavy music in popular music. And I'm not one of those rock is dead guys. I don't, it's dumb. But it, you know, in popular music, I do feel like I hear it less and less. So when I hear something like San Quentin come across, it's like, oh, this is heavy. This is, you know, a bit more abrasive than the other stuff that I've heard today.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. It's almost like we've been talking about this. You kind of live through the cycle. And it does, it's obviously cyclical in a sense, because things get saturated in your own ears as to like what I want to listen to today or this month. And you gravitate to whatever is happening. And sometimes it just gets too much, overwhelming, or the ear starts to look for something different. And I just don't think it was ready, really ready. But the masses were really back to the rock. I know you're saying about the rock is dead thing and that sentiment, but I think it for sure faded for a while. But with the newer generation coming back, all of a sudden rediscovering rock bands and old rock bands, because it's been pop and hip hop driven, which has had some great music as well. You know, everybody kind of has their moment, and then they kind of look back, look for something else. And I think that's kind of what's happening now. And you're right, it's not probably really prevalent on the radio at a larger scale. You know, niche stations and whatnot, but it's nice that it's coming back into the I don't know if you want to call it the zeitgeist, but in the actual public space, I think it's awesome.
Do you think there's a spot where, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, rock did feel dangerous. In a song like this, it feels a bit, it is reminding me of them. I mean, do you think there that rock can still be dangerous?
Two Live Crew felt dangerous when I was growing up.
It's like, fair point.
That was the only thing that really ever felt really dangerous to me. Like if you were in a buddy's car and we were driving up and down Main Street in Hanna, our little tiny town of 2,900 people, which was a mile long and had two stop signs at the time. If the windows were down, and because everybody knew everybody in that town, and you rolled up to a stop sign, you looked over, and it's like, dude, that's my mom, turn it down.
Yeah.
You know, that music felt felt really, really dangerous. I don't know how dangerous. I don't know how dangerous rock music ever felt to me.
Well, I'll say this because I'll agree, and you know, it wasn't so much Two Live Crew, but I do remember feeling like that with the first time my friend passed me Too Short on a CD or cassette. But at the same time, you know, when I put in, I remember being 14, 15, whatever it was, when like Super Unknown came out. And that that record scared me. Like, it may be because I was a country kid too, but I don't know. I thought it was. I thought rock, you know, it did feel it's, and then it got tame again, but I don't know if it's still there because you're right. You know, there is a new generation coming up and they seem to be wearing the right clothes, doing the right moves.
It's interesting, like dangerous in a sense where rebellious in a way when we grew up, I think metal was for us. Like if I played Megadeth or Anthrax to anybody outside of who enjoyed that, it was loud and intense and fast and noisy and just aggressive, really aggressive.
I think I think the length of anybody's hair was far more dangerous than anything else. Cause if you found yourself in a country bar somewhere, you know, and your hair was down to your tits, you just get your ass kicked quick. So that was far more dangerous to me.
No, fair enough. Like, but if you had something like, and I was just talking about this, how I vividly remember, I was talking with my dad the other day about this, but I vividly remember when it went rock woke me up out of like what I was normally listening to, or it felt like it was like a bit dangerous was, I remember listening to the first time that some kid, couple years older than me. It's always the way it is. This kid, a couple years older, say, "Hey kid, check this out." It wasn't drugs. It was AC/DC. "You Shook Me All Night Long," and I'm like, I knew what it was about. I'm like, "You can sing about that." I'm like, and the music was just intense and just, you know, just basic heavy rock and roll.
You have the same look, like, on your face when you walk in and you see some of the lyrics that are up on the big screen TV that I'm writing.
No, it's like, worse. It's worse. Yeah. That's too much. You know, when you paint your walls like, you know, cream, and then sometimes you come in and it's like bright yellow with blue polka dots. I'm like, yeah, that's too much. That's too much. I get it, but it's too much.
This seems like an easy seg, by the way, as we need to get back to the record. We're just talking about those days because here we are, you know, you guys going back in there in the 80s and early 90s, but you really indulged that nostalgic muscle for that one right there. I mean, like, how much do you all allow yourself in a song like that to go, it's time to get in the time machine. It's time to go back there.
Right. We tried.
Right back to the first line that came out was, remember when the streetlights came on and we had to be home, and everyone went, yep. I'm like, no, I think that should be the first line of the song. And then we should just keep going, remember when. And then just talk about all the things. And then the song pretty much writes itself after that. Once you know where you're going, then we just have to try and come up with, you know, clever things that fit within those parameters.
Yeah, I think when you came up with the Elm Street line, that's when we were like, okay, I think we need to go down like specifically to be like an 80s thing, because that's, we're children of the 80s for sure. And it just felt good. I don't know. I've got really great memories of back then. And obviously it's been kind of, you know, lately it's been back in the media again. Obviously Stranger Things is really great with that. But we put this together a little over a year ago, and it was just fun going through all of those moments. And you're like, you don't want to do, like, we've done the photograph reminiscing kind of song, but it's like, this is specifically to bring back some of those 80s kind of feels, because we all internally, we talk about it a lot. It's such a good time growing up with bikes and skateboards, and God, you know, when that's when home video or VHS players came. So we watched movies constantly.
What about Beta? So let's not forget Beta.
Beta is superior to VHS by far. Yeah, I lost a lot of money in that, but
it was so weird.
But it's a sore spot.
But back in the day, like, do you remember the little video rental place on Main Street? The where you go to, you either went to the right or to the left, because half the store
Yes.
Was beta. The other half was all VHS. And so you were like, that right there was, what kind of family are you? Are you the VHS family? Or are you the beta family?
Yeah. Those suckers, hey? Yeah.
I knew one person in all of the little town that I was from in Kentucky, Litchfield, that only one person that had beta. Like, it just didn't reach us. It was VHS from the beginning. So that's, right. You know, it was, beta was 8-track. It was sort of there and gone, you know.
Right.
And the machines were way heavier than the VHS ones. So I didn't want to carry those machines home. Did you guys have to rent the machines? We had to rent machines.
Yeah.
And the tapes. I remember that. Long time ago.
I did that with the game consoles.
That's
one
thing that we
were
talking about. Remember, we wanted to put that in the lyric video, the whole
beta versus
rewind.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. The Blockbuster thing. Yeah.
Like, there's mm-hmm. so many of those things that just don't even exist anymore. And that's why, you know, we did want them to be defunct, and we kind of wanted them to be something that's just really not around him. Like, remember every prank call we made in Star 69? Like, those things just aren't, like, this is not around anymore. You don't need Star 69 because we all just, like, as soon as your phone just goes, you know, it's got the, it just tells you who's calling. So,
yeah. I mean, it's a Gen X checklist, this song.
It's a Gen X checklist. There you go. That's great.
The chorus is supposed to be for like any time frame, because that's basically what it is. I mean, you can relate to anybody can relate to the chorus. That's the beauty of that.
Well, honest question here. You all are very successful. You might live comfortable lives, but we're all subject to that nostalgia. Would you go back if you could?
Wait, do I get to know what I know now?
I would like to say yes, because that's the, I want that game too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Without hesitation. Oh,
if I could go and come back, maybe, yeah. It's, I'm always torn about that. I'm unfortunately a firm believer in you can never go home. You can never really go home, unfortunately. And it's like, do I want to ruin that? I don't know, because I got great memories of it. Probably, though. Yeah, let's try it. Why not? Let's ruin it.
I would. I'm good. But that's the whole thing. But you have to know what you know now. That's the only way it really works.
Would you do it?
I would do it in a heartbeat a million times over. I've got nothing to lose here, guys. I'm not a multi-platinum, rock band.
But I think that that's the power.
Are you going back with stock information? Is that what you're doing? You want to go back?
That'd be
nice.
Listen,
Biff, you can't do that.
No.
Don't take
games,
the almanac.
Like, no. Everybody who won the Super Bowl, everybody who won the Stanley Cup, you got to know all
saying.
That stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think that's the power of nostalgia. You ask anybody who's got a wife and kids and a job they don't like right now. I was referring to the job they don't like.
Damn kids.
And ask them if they could go back. You know, everybody who's telling that story on the bar stool at the end of the bar about, you know, scoring the winning touchdown in high school, and they tell the same story every time they get drunk with their buddies. Like, that's the power of nostalgia. Everybody wants to go back. Everybody wants to get in the time machine and go back to that time in their lives. And I think that's why songs like those days are important, because that's as close as we're going to get to that time machine is having your brain go, oh, I miss those days. God, I miss that. You know, and I think that's why when we started going down that road, you know, we all got the feeling, you know, once we all get the butterflies in the stomach, like, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. You know, that's what keeps us going back. That's what keeps the fire alive.
Nicely done. As we wrap back around to the beginning of that. Well, time. Just in time too. No, music is that the ultimate time machine. I appreciate always time traveling through the songs. I can go back to hearing, you know, Leader of Men the first time. With you guys too, but congrats on the new record with Get Rolling, guys. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for taking the
time,
man.
All right,
good talking with you.
Orahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla,
and I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
That was back in 2020 that I spoke with Nickelback bassist Mike Krueger. We were talking about the 15th anniversary edition of All the Right Reasons, which was celebrating its time right around that time. So we got to get into autobiographical lyrics, the absurdity of celebrity as told through that single rock star, and the story of their childhoods through the smash hit Photograph. So going to drop that one in here as part two. It's Kyle Meredith with Nickelback.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
I know we're talking about a couple things here, and we'll start with the 15th anniversary of All the Right Reasons, a massive selling album in the universe. And heading back there to this time, you know, when I go back and listen to it with the comparisons to the records before it, the heavy songs were heavier, the ballads were lusher. Do you remember, you know, what you all had in mind as you went into the sessions?
You know, it's really simple. You know, it was giving every song maximum focus and making sure that it was the best it could be. You know, sometimes that came together quickly and sometimes it didn't, but it had to be done. And as, frustrating as it was, it was a little bit of a struggle at sometimes it flowed freely and sometimes it was a battle, but it had to be done. These songs, we really decided they all deserved the most we could do to make them the best they could be.
I don't know how much you can speak to the lyrics, too, because, you know, obviously you guys were going, I mean, you were, it was a big moment for you. Success was huge at this point going into this record. And I think you find that a little bit on the lyrics, too. Like, I wrote down, it seems like an album on the offense, too, because some of these characters seem like they come into the room ready to fight. Like, if you can't speak to the lyrics, like, who were the people that we were hearing about in these songs?
Well, you know, a lot of it is Chad, you know, being autobiographical. A lot of it is that. I would say the bulk of it, you know, because we learned early on that it's not easy to write lyrics for another person. You know, the person who has to sing this stuff is probably the person who should be writing it, because, you know, the words that come out of your mouth, ultimately they're your words, and it's nicer if you kind of thought of them, you know. So that's sort of how a lot of those lyrics are conceived. You know, we would help out, but the bulk of the lyric writing was Chad's like the autobiographical way of looking at life.
And it makes sense then, really, when you get down to Rockstar, that song right there, as the front man, and he was the front man kind of taking that attention. But as that song is also a bit of a tongue-in-cheek indictment of celebrity, given your all's fame at that point, was that something that you all were struggling with?
No, you know, we still find a lot of that stuff pretty funny. You know, the stuff that we, you know, wrote those lyrics about, we were thinking about how absurd can we possibly be. You know, this is we wanted to write a song of absurdity, of kind of comedy. It's the topics that we touched on in those lyrics, we still find preposterous to this day. You know, these things are it's just funny stuff. And, you know, all the Spinal Tap stories that are based and rooted in fact, you know, which makes them even more funny, I think. These are the kind of things that, you know, when you're in a rock band, you laugh about, you know, things like people throwing televisions out of, you know, hotel rooms and things like that. That's just, I think it's part of the big myth and the big fable. It's great. Right.
Well, you get down to the song Photograph, and I'm sure, like, you know, any song for any artist, you know, the new song is the best song you've ever written, but did you hear something special in that one yourself? Because it would obviously go on to be one of the biggest success stories of your career so far.
Well, Photograph was, we did devote really special time to it, not necessarily because we could smell blood or, you know, quote-unquote hit or whatever. It was more like, I think we all realized that that was so much a part of, you know, those lyrics in that song for Chad and I and Ryan, who all grew up in the small town of Hanna. Those lyrics are our lives. It, you know, that he actually did come up with the template that actually did describe our childhood, really, you know, it really did, and our upbringing in that town is what those lyrics are sung about, and you know, we all had our little bit to kick in there, but you know, to be honest, that really is that's really what it was like.
It's nice to have that encapsulated all in a song for all of you all. With that sentiment.
Yeah, it felt really good. So it was something we wanted, you want to give adequate time to, because it's coming from such a place of authenticity.
With this deluxe edition, you also get a live album from the Sturgis show. What was special about that one? Why did you guys single that one out?
You know, Sturgis is just it's not just a motorcycle rally. Sturgis is a cultural event. And it's changed, you know, its profile has changed over the years. And, you know, you see a lot more, you know, doctors and dentists and stuff, you know, riding in Sturgis than you might have seen, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But the spirit is the same, which is, you know, everybody just wants to have a good time. And you know, it's nobody gets on a motorcycle and goes, I'm going to, you know, go out and, you know, this is not a business decision. You know, it's leisure. It's what you do to relax and enjoy yourself. And so all these people get together of a similar mind, and it also equals a pretty gigantic party. You know, I got to say, I saw things at Sturgis, some of which I won't mention, some of which I will. That I've never seen so many naked people in the audience ever. You know, and I don't mean, you know, like shirts off. I mean, naked, like nothing. And the other thing that, you know, we never experienced before Sturgis is people, you know, the seating at the back of the Buffalo Chip concert grounds is open dirt. And at the back, there were some seated patrons. They were seated on Harley Davidson motorcycles that happened to be running. So between songs, in lieu of clapping or applause, they would rev the engines. That is something you don't see at every rock show.
Yeah. Well, I'll wrap up with this one. I know you gave us a new cover single with Devil Went Down to Georgia. It's the 25th anniversary year, of course. Everything put on hold with the pandemic, but is this all going to lead to a new record in the new year for some kind of big celebration?
I think we need to get back to work on this new record and get our COVID beards on and get at it, you know, and get this new record ready. It seems like people are really dying for it.
Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. Congratulations on 15 years for all the right reasons, and thank you for the conversation today.
Thank you. Thanks for making time for me.
And again, my thanks to the Nickelback guys, Mike there in the older interview, but Chad and Ryan for the new one. The latest album is called Get Rollin'. And thanks to you as well for hanging out, checking out the interview. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the full series. 3 new interviews sent your way every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual spots. That includes iTunes and Apple Podcasts. It's Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern.
at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
That was beyond
outstanding, man.
Gen X checklist.
She was right.
I'm absolutely stealing Gen X checklist.
And just don't worry, he's not going to credit you for it. So don't worry, okay?
Nope. Not even for a second.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.